Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this great opportunity that you've chosen us to take this gospel around the world. Lord, we pray for Jerusalem, like my sister said, for the peace of Jerusalem. We bind the powers of death, hell, and the grave against Jerusalem. But also we pray for the Palestinians, Lord, that you would save them and fill them with the precious Holy Ghost. We pray for all the countries around the world that they would know Jesus in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed equal unto his death. Lord God, we thank you right now for our armed servicemen and their families around the world. We thank you how they have been dispersed around the world to bring peace, security, and safety, and to keep the gates from war. We thank you for our armed servicemen, our police officers, our government. We thank you, Lord. We pray for all those that are in authority, that they would not misuse their authority, that they would not operate in fear, but they would operate in the love of God. We pray for the people at the borders, Lord, the border patrol, the customs department. We pray that you would give them love so they wouldn't do racial profiling, Lord, but they would walk in the love of Christ. Lord, we thank you for revival, for the anointing that breaks every yoke. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. We lift up your name, Lord Jesus. We exalt you this morning, and we thank you for the gates of healing. Now, as we enter into the gates of healing, Lord, let us feel your presence. Your presence is fullness of joy. Remove sorrow and fill my brothers and sisters around the world with joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so honored. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. I will give you an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, you by television and around the world, to be saved. Soon we'll have our baptismal finish, and I want you to come to 906 Market Street and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Another thing I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, I am honored to be the apostle, the prophet of God. I believe, you know, it's really an honor to know what God is doing in my life. And I want to say to you, it took 20 years being a Christian to get this revelation. You see, God, it takes time for God to drop something in you so it'll bear fruit. And sometimes we feel, God, we're not bearing fruit, but we are bearing fruit because it's the law of seed time and harvest. So don't eat your seed. You buy television, don't eat your money. The Bible said, call for the priest of those days and sow it. Sow it. And the Bible says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, you shall reap life everlasting. When I was gone on the airplane, the Lord showed me. He said, raise your hand up, Brian. So I raised my hand up like that. I was on an airplane just praising God. He said, now raise your left hand. Now, my left hand has always been the weak one. And God said, millions are going to be healed by this hand. So today I want you to know that if you're sick in your body, it's amazing how Sister Marianne began to preach my message. So I knew I was on the right track because I was going to say something else this morning. And then the Lord said this morning, no, son, I told you to talk about the gate of miracles and healing. And some of you out there, you need a miracle. So I want to release that miracle in your life. Now this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have an Easter service Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. I want you around the world to fast with me for those 3 days. And on the third day, we're going to take communion. And I believe that God is going to do a supernatural miracle resurrection for us. For those 3 days, I want you to do nothing but drink water. And I want you to pray. Every time you would think about eating, I want you to pray for Jerusalem. I want you to pray for Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Egypt. I want you to pray for India. I want you to pray for China. I want you to pray for Africa. I want you to pray for the United States. I want you to pray for our government, our policemen, our medical teams, and I thank God for our firemen. Look how many firemen in New York or around the world came for 9/11 and helped the people. Thank God for our fire department, praise God. Amen. You never thank God for the fire department until you have a fire. Then you'd be like, praise God for the fire department, right? You never thank God for the preacher until you got a fire, praise God. But when I come there, praise God, with the hose of the glory of God and put out that fire, you'll be like, thank God for Apostle Brian. Amen. So thank God for his glorious word. Amen. For he sent his word to heal us. Praise God. And that's so beautiful. I thank God for his word. For he sent his word to heal us. That's what God told me to tell you this morning. For that is the good news. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God began to show me how he found himself in the Bible. And I want you to, when you write, remember we're going to send you these tapes for your library, your Bible studies. But ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I would like to share with you how to find yourself in the Bible. For if when you find yourself in the Bible, you'll never be the same. And also, you'll be able to help others how to find their self in the Bible. So ladies and gentlemen, don't get frustrated when your seed is not bearing fruit. Maybe you're sick in your body. Tonight, we're going to talk about hope. But this morning, I want to call out many sicknesses and loose you from them. God began to show me. He said, son, you have a gift of healing. You know, I'm telling you, I never like to pray for sick people. I don't know what it is. I fight it. I just can't imagine. There's something inside of me that fights every time God tells me to pray for the sick. I'm asking God, what is that, Lord? And because it's not a, see, when God gives you a gift, it's not a natural thing. Say a supernatural thing. So God has given you supernatural gifts. Now, when he tells you to use those supernatural gifts, your natural gifts are going to fight it. Now, this morning, I want to talk about being double-minded and being a schizophrenic. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost gave me a revelation on the plane. He said, son, you are fighting a demon of schizophrenia. Sisters Mary Ann, the demon you are fighting in your family is a demon of schizophrenia. And what that means is we have a natural mind and we have a spiritual mind. Now, the Bible says, unless a man be born again, he will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. Excuse me, the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it is power in the Holy Ghost. So this person has not been born again of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible said, how can they discern? How can they accept? How can they receive or be engrafted in with spiritual things? They're dead. The Bible said they're earthly, devilish, and they're sensual. So on this side of their mind, they're earthly, devilish, and sensual. And on this side of their mind, you got the word going in this ear, but on this side of the ear, in their brain, because you have two sides of your brain. You have a conscious mind, you have a subconscious mind. Now, if your subconscious mind is filled with wickedness and abomination and perversion, it will gobble up the word of God that's coming in. That's why the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, he says immediately that when the word is sown, the devil comes immediately and steals the word that was sown in their heart. So first of all, we got to bind the thief. You can't sow a seed and not expect the birds to come to eat the seed. So, and ladies and gentlemen, we must start learning how to be farmers. For in farming, you don't plant no seed not to get a harvest. So another thing, you're not going to be a big dummy and plant seed and sit on the porch drinking lemonade. You're going to have to be out there every day tilling that land. Huh? Come on now. What do you think, Betty going to just cook you some good old French fries and collard greens and chicken? And you're going to just sit there and the tree going to just grow up by itself? I don't think so. You're going to have to help that bad boy. Huh? It's like when a woman having a baby. She can't have no baby by herself. She needs some help. They got to cut that umbilical cord. Huh? So when you bring in forth a fruit tree, there's going to be some death. You're going to have to fight off death off that fruit tree. For the devil does not want that fruit tree to grow. For in when it grows, the Bible said people will come all over the world and find refuge and shade under that tree. So the devil's job is to fight you. So ladies and gentlemen, be aware this morning that the devil is on his job. We got to be on our job. Say it with me, ladies and gentlemen, around the world, we must be on our job. So this morning I want to talk to you about your job as a farmer, as a spiritual farmer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, right now we have just purchased 10 acres and we're building a prayer retreat and a farm. We're building the farm, we're putting horses and cows and pigs and chickens and all these great things. Moo and cock-a-doodle-doo, you know what I'm talking about. But we're building a fence around it. For we are staking our perimeter and we don't want no people coming in. You know, just coming on in and helping themselves, right? So a gate is a fence to keep out folk that shouldn't be in there. Unless you got a permit to get in. Say, I got a permit to get in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you became born again, God gave you a permit to get in to the gate. Do you hear me? Now, if you ain't got no permit, that's why it ain't working for you. But if you got a permit, you can start talking to the gates. Because if you got a permit, permission, you got the keys. And you see, when I go in my house, I can't even get in my own house if I ain't using my key. You can't even get in your own car unless you use your own key. I don't care how much you talk to the door. Door, open. Car, start up. Car just looking at you like this. I want to drive you, but I want to open the door and let you sit down on my chair, but you're not using your key. But he can't even talk back to you because he's a car. And car ain't got no voice. And you're sitting there screaming at the car, open! I'm telling you to open up! I want to go get some burgers! And the car just looking at you saying, just use your key! Does that make sense? I know I sound retarded, but that's how we sound sometimes. We're trying to get something without using our key. Say, I got the key. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is the key. Say, the Word of God is the key. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a gift for you this morning. How many people ever went to the door with no porch lock? We try to use the key, and we're already worried about somebody trying to rob us. I don't know what neighborhood y'all live in, but you know what I'm saying. So we're trying to fool around with the key, and it's dark. We can't see the hole. So what do you need to see the hole? Some light. The Word of God is also a light. So when you're trying to open up that gate, you need some light. Holy Spirit. I'm getting some work. Is this lady looking at me like, that makes sense. Wow. Yeah. I know what to do to this guy. I see a lot of bells going off in y'all's head now. Ding, 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 ding. Last night, God talked to me about Jimmy. Check this out to what he said. I had a dream. I saw Jimmy riding around in a new BMW convertible. Now, check this out. Check this out, y'all. This is funny. With the top down. Jimmy was styling. It was a red with a white top. Jimmy was doing it. He didn't have no girls in the car. No, Jimmy was driving a new BMW and with a suit on. Jimmy was sharp. He was so sharp, I screamed at him. I said, Jimmy, get over here. Jimmy stopped the car, came back, came over. I said, what car is that? He said, Pastor, it's my car. I said, now listen to what I said. Jimmy, you know that ain't your car. Watch. Because in my mind, I thought, How can you afford that car? On his salary. What? What? It's all right. Y'all, they listening. They listening. Watch, watch, watch. Watch. Come on now. Not only on his salary, how are you going to pay the insurance on that salary? Because he'll be coming to me talking about, Pastor Ryan, help me with my insurance. I was like, so watch, watch. It's some good stuff. I'll get you back from that, Mike. I said, where you get that car from? Listen to what he said. Somebody gave it to me. Now, another thing in my mind, I look at Jimmy and I say, nobody gave you that car because look at you. Nobody gonna give you no car like that. You being you. Right? All of a sudden, the Lord said, ask him, he got the title. I said, I got him now. I said, show me the title. He whipped the title up and the car was in his name. I thought it was a phony title. I said, that title ain't real. I was saying everything to dispute the validity of the title. See, God gave me the least esteemed person that he would give a title to, so I would fight about it. I would fight over the ownership of that gift. And when he showed me that title, the Lord said these words to me. How do you represent a dead person? See, I didn't think Jimmy was capable of getting that car. But Jimmy said, hey, Pastor, I helped this lady fix her car, and she gave me this other one. So I said, I believe that, yeah, that sounds like something you can do. And instantly God said to me, that's how we have to think about him. There's some things you can do to activate God. For God to give you not only the gift, but the title to the gift. The ownership. So you know who you are. You know what you have. And everybody gonna see you got something. So let's talk about that this morning. Miracle gift gate. The powers of the Creator and his nature to heal. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. He said to me, he said, don't I live in Jimmy? I thought about it. Troy, I thought about that for a minute. I said, I've been working on Jimmy for almost 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Surely the fruit doesn't grow up now. So the Lord said that to me. I said, wow, the fruit is growing in Jimmy. Watch it now, God is good. Now listen to what God said. God said, can I ride in a BMW? That's my temple. Now hear what God said. That Jimmy was his temple. So why can't Jimmy ride in a BMW? Because you know God is in Jimmy. So I wasn't looking at Jimmy no more. I was looking at God in Jimmy. So you tell me God don't own the BMW. God owns everything, don't he? So I begin to scratch my head. I said, that is powerful. So anything you want, you already got it because God lives in you. Anything you want, you got it because God lives in you. Now listen to this. Anything you want somebody else to have, they got it because God lives in you. And God can do anything but lie and fail. But if you don't believe it, it's going to be hard to get it. So you got to believe it. You got to forgive. Now, another thing, does God own you? Does God own your body? Is this thing happening in your life? Is it an unexpected thing? Or do you expect it? Did you expect God to do this for you? Everything God's doing in your life? Are you expecting God to do this for you, the good things that are happening in your life? Or is it an unexpected thing? Is it something like just walked out the door and you just hit the lottery, but you didn't even pay no lottery ticket? I didn't say go do that, no. Using it as a metaphor. God, give me another metaphor. I saw a BMW convertible go up the street. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, Jimmy. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Y'all be laughing, but Jimmy gonna be riding a Mercedes. Mercedes. Don't give him Mercedes, Lord. Don't give him Mercedes. He be trying to compete with me, Lord. Whew. My God, this prophecy power is just coming out of my mouth. Don't give him a Mercedes, Lord. Listen to this. Your body has a title to it. Just like my car out there has a title. Your house got a title. Your body has a title. And Jesus owns it. Now check this out. It's also owned by heaven. So heaven can adorn it with all its glorious powers. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It's not a violation of the laws of nature for God to operate through you like this. It's God's nature, if you identify with Christ, for him to do good and to will all his good pleasure through you. Hallelujah. So stop listening to all those voices. Be thankful to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to go home today and I want you to write down all the things that God has done for you. You got a lot to be thankful. God woke you up this morning. God gave you a place to live. I know some people in Africa I just came from. They was living on the street and just as happy, praising God. They were just wanting to come to church to hear the word so they can go out and fight some more. Now, these guys are driving BMWs, Mercedes in Africa. Now, listen to this. Their money is $8,000 to $1. So if you have, listen to this, $1,000, you're an instant millionaire. Get it? That went over your head. Watch this. Their money is $8,000 to $1. So if you get $1,000, you're an instant millionaire. See, it's how you think. Depends on what currency you're operating with. Stop listening to all these voices. Be thankful to God daily. Now, go to Proverbs 13:20. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't get off the course. God showed me, stay on course. Let's say it together around the world. Stay on course. Say it with me one more time. Stay on course. If you buy your new yacht and we all get in your yacht and you set the what's that thing called? Come on, y'all, help me. What's it? The autopilot. And you say, we're going to Hawaii. Say it with me, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord gave me something for somebody this morning. Somebody going on a vacation this morning. Somebody's going on a vacation this summer that they have. God showed me there's some people that have never been on a vacation. You're going on a vacation. God's going to give you a supernatural vacation. I saw it. A vacation. You'll be like, how you get here, Jesus? Pass me the doves. Room service. I'd like the fish tonight. Hubbity, hubbity, hubbity. I look a little bit of cranberry juice. Yes, ma'am. Would that be all you need now? Yes. Give me a little bit of that pie too. You know what I'm saying? Would you like to put this on your? Yes, no problem. Cause somebody done paid your bill. The Lord showed me somebody's going on a vacation and somebody's going to pay the bill. God showed me. And when he showed me something, it happens. Amen? Uh-oh. See, somebody got that in here. I just want to release it. I'm just releasing it. Room service. Say room service. Room service. Just sign it to the bill. Oh, where am I at? Proverbs 13. Everybody say stay on course. Now remember, this is a healing gate. Proverbs, where you at? Proverbs 13:20 after Psalms. You think I didn't know that? Duh. Okay. Proverbs 13:20. Listen. He that walketh with wise men shall be what? No, he gonna be broke. He gonna be stupid. He gonna be a failure. He that walketh with wise men is what? Now, let me tell you what a wise is. The word wise means you are empowered to prosper in everything you touch, as long as you live by the law of obedience. A lot of people are not blessed because they won't submit to authority. Like the sister said, they ain't listening. They listening, but they not listening to do. There are some people in your life you need to go back to that are in your life. You need to say, I'm sorry that the way I did you. God made me do it. I didn't have to go back to some folk and say, I'm sorry. No, I was wrong. Even if I wasn't wrong, I'm sorry. And not just say you're sorry, but bring a gift. The Bible says, before you bring your gift to the altar, go back to that person and make it right with that person. You cannot get blessed by God until you make it right. Say, make it right. You see, we got the keys. Say, I got the key. Glory to God, lady. Something gonna happen to you this morning. Say, something good gonna happen to me this morning. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She came expecting something. Now watch this. Have a clear relationship with God. Listen, know your covenant benefits package. Know your covenant's benefits package. When you go to a job, you find out how much they're going to pay you, what the benefits are. Listen, when you get an insurance policy, you look at the benefits package. We ain't talking about you ain't got insurance. You got insurance. Develop love with God. Release it daily. Hugging and kissing and telling people you love them. How do you show God you love him? By loving your neighbor. The Bible says if you say you love God whom you haven't seen, and you don't love your neighbor who you have seen, the love of God is not in you. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. You don't want to love. You don't want to be kind. So the Bible says love never fails. Say that with me around the world. Hallelujah. Love ever fails. Let's say it one more time. I feel it. Love never fails. Glory to God. See, when you get up in the morning, I want you to put your garment of love on and say to yourself, love never fails. It's like putting on $1,000 suit, $1,000 dress. Driving in a $400,000 car. That's how powerful love is. You just wrap yourself in love. But when you wrap yourself in love, make it feel like you just stepped into a Bentley or a Rolls Royce. Whoop! You turned it on and you become like Cinderella. Glory to God. You was walking in a pumpkin. All of a sudden, now you in a chariot. Praise God. Use your imagination, baby. That's one thing you can't steal from Brother Brian. I got an imagination that'll blow a horse off. My imagination goes wild sometimes. It's like, come back, come back. But use your imagination. That's the child in you. Just sit down in your easy chair at home. Don't matter if you ain't got no furniture. Sit on the floor. Say, I'm Cinderella. I do it all the time. And I say, I'm going to Europe. I don't care, ain't no money in the bank. Y'all don't hear me this morning. But I know how to heal my bank account. See, it's called the power of imagination. The power of the spoken word. Now, if positive thinkers can do it, how much more can we do? And we got the word of God. The Bible said the world was hung by the word of God. That means the things that we walk upon are not by things that we see, but it was made by things we cannot see. The spoken word of God. See, you can't see what I'm speaking unless I spit on you. But you can hear what I'm saying. Unless I got some bad breath, be like, oh, be like, ah! Put the cross up to him. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going there right now, though. Forgive me, Lord. What motivates God to heal you? What steps do you have to take to see this happen? How does God appear in your heart? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever want something from God, shut your eyes and see how God appears in your heart. Forever, how God appears in your heart is how you're going to get from God what you ask for. See, if you say, I want my sister saved, but in your heart, you say you'll see your sister smoking crack, you don't see God on the scene. You still see a crack addict. You don't see a delivered person filled with the Holy Ghost, praising God, prospering in Christ. It's your imagination. It's you. You see, bitterness can become an idol. It's called perversion. See, that's not faith. See, when you say something to somebody, the good news, you got to say it in faith. You can't say it with a perverted heart, with a bitter heart, an angry heart. You got to say it with a heart that's full of love and compassion and forgiveness and mercy. Not looking at that person, but looking at they are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why God told me to name this church. I was going to name it so many other names. He said, no, son, name it Resurrection Temple. Because that's how you're going to see everybody you look at. My job is to resurrect her. Not to kill her, not to step on her, not to condemn her, not to criticize her, but to resurrect her. Now, there's a thing when you have to correct people. Like if you see me smoking crack, you got to say, Brother Brian, are you all right? Come on over here. Let me cast that crack demon out of you. Don't let me stay out there smoking crack. Now, I might get mad. I might blow up, especially if you catch me. What you talking about, Willis? But cast the devil out of me. Don't leave the devil in me. Oh, I heard a good one, y'all. Why did God tell people to cast the devil in the sea? Because devils can't swim. Oh, this is good. Could you imagine a devil drowning? You're like, that's what you get for making me a drug addict. I got you now. They can't swim. Oh, the devil's in trouble. Be truthful, transparent, and be kind and loving to each other. Be transparent. Just tell your sin. Don't try to hide it. Another thing is, ask yourself. Just ask yourself this question. Before I get into the word, I got to ask you these questions. What is a devil to you? Just sit down and ask yourself. Personally, what is a devil to me? You may think it's just a little guy with the red horns. I remember Abraham, my little four-year-old son. I said, Abraham, what is a devil? But like, what's that? Praise the Lord. But he still should know what a devil is. Another question. What is a key? No, forgive me, Lord. Why you make me so happy this morning? What is the devil? Listen to this. Now look it up in a dictionary, y'all. A devil is a disease, a dis-ease, something that makes you uncomfortable. But the Holy Spirit makes you happy and makes you comfortable in yourself and takes away insecurity. It's a uncomfortable gait. You can always tell when the devil is present, you're uncomfortable. What is a key? A point of entry, an authority to access. What is a gate? A security of premises. Listen to this, to imprison. If you say on one side of your mouth, I love you, but on the other side, you're a devil, you're imprisoning the person. The Bible didn't say, call a person a devil. The Bible said, cast the devil out. Suffer not the devil. They're going BMW. Two BMWs out on top. That one had the top up, though. I don't know what that one did. Wasn't red, but I'm getting close. Gotcha. The blue one. It's coming, baby. I'll release that blue one on you right now. Listen, what is sickness? What is sickness? That's a good one. Sin. Do you know that sickness is sin? Anybody that's sick, it's a form of sin inside of them. Now, because remember the guy came to Jesus and said, who committed this sin? Did he? Did his father? He said, no, but for the glory of God. So sometimes the devil can put things on you. But the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Okay, so we know the Bible said all things that pertain unto life and godliness, God will reveal it to us. But we got to seek him. And also turn from our wicked ways. We can't just seek God and still live in sin. See, a lot of people love God, but they don't want to live in sin. Okay, now watch this. Without God's presence, what does the word sickness mean? Without God's presence in that area. Because people that are sick, they're sick because they don't know how to get healed. People that are broke financially, they're broke because they don't know how to prosper. People that are angry, they're angry because they don't know how to be happy. People that are depressed, they're depressed because they don't know how to have dance before the Lord. Peace, amen. They don't know how to have peace. But this is a gate this morning. Watch. Weak, weary, no strength, no caring, no attention. When you're sick, you don't have an attention span to pay attention. You can always tell when God is healing you, you can pay attention to God more. I remember there was a time I could not pay attention to God. My mind was everywhere. My heart was everywhere. My body was at, my eyes was everywhere. Honestly, I was at this beautiful hotel in Africa, and it was really amazing. At 5 in the evening, I got sleepy like a 3-year-old, like I wanted breast milk. It's funny, but y'all, check this out. Every 5 o'clock, I was going like this. Wow, Moses, on, and I was like, sound like a little baby. I had to go sleep. There was all kind of women out there with bikinis and watch. But all of a sudden, I wanted to go to sleep. She started yawning, see? Every time you think about doing the sin, you're going to start yawning. I went to bed. Got up at 4 in the morning, prayed, read my Bible, got up. And it was all kinds of temptation there. It didn't even bother me. Because I didn't pay attention to it. Now, I wanted to. But then it was hard to lust. It was hard to covet sin because I was so impregnated with the pureness of God's word. Now, you will battle. The Bible said, what war is coming inside of you? Aren't they the lust that war in your members? The Bible said you ask, but you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. But the Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain. But if you don't spend quality time with God, you will be drawn away by your own lust and enticed. The Bible said when it comes, it brings forth sin, and sin when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, for every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Ladies and gentlemen, when you want something from God, the devil will always bring you a counterfeit. The devil told Jesus, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. That was a counterfeit. But Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the reason why people are sick, because they're not living out of the mouth of God in that area. That's why they're diseased, they're weary, they're weak, because they got no power in them in that area. So the Bible said that you must be engrafted with the word of God. Go with me now in the name of Jesus to Luke 14:2. Luke 14:2. Now, my brother, when I get down to around 5 minutes, let me know, because I want to pray over the television and the studio audience. Luke 14:2. Now, tonight, I will also be finishing up the series 2700, The Healing Gate. It is a gift. Luke 14:2. Now, listen. Now, what we're talking about is different types of diseases that come in and imprison us in this type of sickness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's two types of entries. You can open the door from the inside. I got me a deadbolt lock. I got locks on both sides. I want to keep people from going out and keep people from going in. So if you break in my house, you can't get out. You got to break in through a window. So if you try and take out my big picture screen TV, can't make it. Because I got a deadbolt on you. You get it? So there's some inside locks. You be down there like, come on, man, open the door. I ain't got the key. Here go the key, open it. I don't know how to use it. So sometimes the person that's inside the gate, he got to know how to use the key to open up the door so you can come in and grab it and put it out. There's two types of keys. There's an outside gate key, and there's an inside gate key. Can you get a witness? Okay. Glory to God. And Jesus answered, man, that was hard. And Jesus answered and spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? So, ladies and gentlemen, is it lawful for you to prosper and to be healed this morning? Yes. And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Ladies and gentlemen, did you see that? He healed him. First of all, he took him. Now, why did he have to take him? Because he was inside of a prison state called disease. Now, I'm going to call out several diseases this morning, and God's going to do miracles. God showed me a lady. Listen to this. I seen a spirit. It was powerful. I was praying so hard in Africa, I saw this lady in La Jolla, her mother had leukemia, or grandmother, something like that. And she saw me on TV preaching the gospel. She came out here, she took us to the house, and God healed the lady. Then they took me to these people inside the hospital. And we went around healing, just praying, laying hands on people in the hospital, and God, they all got out of the hospital. It was like 60 people got out of the hospital, totally healed. They was in there from all kind of stuff. But when we walked in there, because the presence of healing walked in there with us, remember, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. We got the title. God owns us. So we got the title to heal. Uh-oh, SpaghettiO. We got the title to do miracles. Ooh. We got the title to prophesy. We could prophesy somebody out of sin. We got the title of the gift of knowledge to know what's going on with them and get them set free. We got the title to wisdom, knowledge. We got the title to faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I have the faith to move all mountains. Hallelujah. There's a title to that. There's a gate. There's an access, point of access. There's a key to get you in there. There's no way I can go in my house where I live, me being me, if I didn't have the title. Yeah, run my black behind up out of there. But they can't stop me because I got the title. Come on! I got the title. Say it again! I got the title. Glory to God, no matter what color I am, praise God. The title makes me this color. No wonder I wore a white suit this morning. The title make you white as snow. Glory to God, you wore white for a reason. It's all right. We got the title. Don't matter what you look like. When you got the title, be like, Mr. Thomason, how can we help you? What you need? You understand? They'll call you Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. So say it with me, I got the title. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't say it like a dog with a pan. You're the human, not the dog. You're feeding the dog. You got to go buy grocery for the dog. You're the human. Say, I'm a human. I think some folk don't even know they're human. Y'all think y'all Martians, aliens somewhere. Don't y'all know y'all human? Jesus became a human so that you can become a God man and a God woman. That's right. Do you know God lives in you? Man, that's some powerful stuff. Praise God. Stuff keeps getting better and better. Okay, go to Matthew 8:14. I'm drilling a hole. Sister Marianne, we got to drill some holes. When you drill some holes, you got to break some bits. You got to break some bits. But there's oil, praise God, under the earth. Amen. Sometime you got to go down 60 feet. Lord, have mercy. Hey, glory to God. Sometimes you got to use a special drill bit, praise God. But if we going to get oil, praise God. What did I say? Matthew 8:14. Matthew 8:14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a what? Fever. So anybody that's sick with a fever be healed in the name of Jesus. I'm going to show you where you may say, oh, that disease ain't in the Bible. I'm going to prove every disease you could be healed from. So we know now, our little kids ain't supposed to have no fever. Every time I see the devil put a fever on my son, I say, fever, don't you know I'm going to make it drown. You be, oh, apostle's coming. Let's get out of the babies. Because he know I know they ain't supposed to be in there. I don't think I'll get some time. I say, no, it's drowning time, devil. You're going to be cast into the sea, and you can't swim. Tell the devil you can't swim. Oh, glory to God. Could you imagine? Help me, I'm drowning. All the things he done did to us, we can cast him into the sea. And he can't swim. That means he can't come back. Remember how Jesus told him to go and don't even come back no more? That means he put some weights on his leg like a mafia do you. We can put some weights on the devil's leg. Not only will he drown real fast, he'll be like, be down the bottom of the sea going, praise God, that devil's in trouble. Hallelujah, where am I? And he touched her. Say, he touched her. He touched her hand. Say, touch her hand. And the fever left her. Say, the fever left her. Come on, y'all ain't saying it like you see the devil drowning. Say, the fever left her. Ooh, I feel a little bit something in that. That was something in that. Say it again. The what? Say it again. Now, don't call Tylenol when the fever come now. Now, listen to this. It left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when the fever left, she got up and cooked them something to eat. So there was instantaneous health that came back. So when you get healed after you've been sick, you should walk right out and go, like, what's wrong, brother? Yeah, I was sick, man. 30 days, but now I became and healed, man. Well, what's we acting like that, though? some of y'all face. Baby, I want to just smack you. Like, okay, brother. Snap out of it. Be happy. Praise God. Jesus is on the scene. I remember I was depressed. Like, I don't want to be depressed no more. Say that. I don't want to be depressed no more. Amen. I'm happy. Amen. Glory to God. Go to Matthew 9:27. Matthew 9:27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. Say, two blind men. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're blind right now, open your eyes in the name of Jesus. I command new eyelids and new eye sockets in Jesus' name. Watch this. Man, this stuff is powerful. Glory to God. Man, every time I read this, man, I feel like Hercules. Glory to God. You don't need no muscle for this. All you can do is cast the devil out. And Jesus departed thence, and two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "The Son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Listen, believe ye that I am able to do this?" Mama, you believe that? I love mama over there. She look at me like, praise God. You see, if I could keep y'all in here for 8 hours, y'all be floating out of here. See, that's what happens to me. I read the Bible for 10 hours, y'all. I read the Bible till I'm drunk. I'll be on the plane cracking up. Ah, ha, ha, everything. This guy's crazy. I'm trying to be so high. I mean, high. See, I used to get high on drugs. I know what high means. So I read the Bible. I get so high, boy, I be getting high. My God, I was having this drunk. But I be drunk with joy. I be like, man, this stuff is powerful. You mean I can... And it's like explosions be going off in my eyeballs, y'all. Like, bam, bam, bam. Man, that stomach's good. You be feeling just joy exploding in your belly. Glory to God. Watch it now. He said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Say, "Yea, Lord." Now, ladies and gentlemen, before God will open your eyes, you got to say, "Yea, Lord." You by television all around the world, I want you to say, "Yea, Lord." Say that to with me 4 or 5 times. Let's say, "Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. I believe. Hallelujah. Yea, Lord. Hey, Hashatabako Sata. You in the hospital, just say, "Yea, Lord." You in the prison house, say, "Yea, Lord." You on your deathbed, say, "Yea, Lord. I believe." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, listen, listen. Listen. Then touch ye their eyes. I'm touching your eyes right now in the name of Jesus, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they went there, where, departing, spread abroad his fame in all the country. Listen. And they went out, behold, there brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out of the dumb, he spake, "In the name of Jesus, I cast out that deaf and dumb spirit out of you in Jesus' name, and I command you to speak right now in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. You see, anytime you want a person to witness and to become born again, you have to bind the gate of deaf and dumbness. There's a demon that controls a gate called deaf and dumbness. They can't hear and they can't speak the glorious words of the gospel because they've been blinded. See, this deaf and dumb spirit blinds people. But glory be to God, who causes us always to triumph.